once again be joined by Lonnie Walker, the pride of Reading, Pennsylvania, beating the Philadelphia 76ers tonight. Lonnie, congratulations. Chris and Tim upstairs, thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely.
You guys are a little shorthanded in the second half. You got to start in the second half, a big 19 points off the bench. You turned things around in the second half. What was the overall strategy to kind of getting things back the way you wanted in the second half this game?
Just building momentum on the defensive side. We know what they bring as far as, you know, Uber and other players trying to get to the paint and whatnot. So just trying to really lock in on that defense. But for the most part, you know, our defense transitioned to our offense, and, you know, we all had a rhythm throughout the game.
Now, Lonnie, you guys are, you know, defensively just got better throughout the game. You gave up 30 in the first quarter. What was the key to it? You just had more focus?
More focus, you know, just communicating, talking to each other, you know, relying on each other. You know, it's not just a one-man army, you know, it's a team. So I think that's something that we really relied on. You know, when you have a player like Nicholas Claxton who's going to block almost every shot that gets to the rim, you can really rely and play a little bit more aggressive. So we understand the game plan, and thank God we came with the win.
I saw him say something to you. I think you followed somebody when they drove to the basket.
Yeah.
It's a nice feeling knowing you got Claxton behind you.
Absolutely. You know, he's telling me, come on now. You know I'm going to get it for you. So I did what I was supposed to do with Hield, you know, and I just got overly anxious, too excited, I guess. But, you know, I'm relying more and more on him.
Can you take more chances defensively knowing you've got Nick back there?
Absolutely. But not playing irresponsible, playing smart, playing key, you know. Still playing to the best of my capabilities, but knowing that I can run players off the three.
Well, Lonnie, finally, you know, Kevin Ollie talks about having a growth mindset with this team. Where do you think you guys have grown recently?
Just being engaged throughout the game. You know, just from practice to pregame shoot-arounds to everything, just being locked in and ready for the game rather than, you know, lackadaisical and starting the game off slow. So he's really been, you know, poking the bear, making us wake up during practices and stuff like that and get us going.
And sharing the cake. Has he shared any cake with you?
yeah, that's for certain.
Well, Lonnie, good luck on the road trip coming up. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Always Lonnie.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Lonnie Walker the fourth as the Nets beat the Sixers 112-107. Chris Corino and Tim Capstraw back with you here at Barclays Center following this Nets victory. They end up going 3 out of 4 wins, 3-1 on this four-game homestand. Tonight, Atlanta winning at Madison Square Garden. So the Nets will remain 2.5 back of Atlanta right now for the 10th spot as we get down to 21 games remaining in the regular season. We're going to hear from Kevin Ollie in a moment. We'll take your questions and comments on Twitter at BKNetsRadio is the way to reach us. Good effort by the Nets considering what we saw last night against the Memphis Grizzlies. Good bounce-back win. Sixers are still playing without Embiid. They didn't have Tyrese Maxey, but, you know, again, the Nets were without Cam Thomas. De'Ron Sharp out, and they lost Cam Johnson in the second half. So a good gutsy second half comeback and a win for Brooklyn.
Exactly, and being down 14, you thought for a period of time that they were going to really struggle in this game, and I liked their fight as the game progressed. As the game got going longer, they got into the game. Their defense got better and better. And then you saw different guys at different points of the game really stepping up and making plays. Everybody played their role, I thought, exceptionally well. Dorian Finney-Smith was really good. Everybody, such a balance. How about Schroeder's ability to get to the paint? And he made some plays or made some passes. Claxton's defense. And then he's able to make the plays around the basket. Lonnie Walker, as a bench guy, how important he was when the Nets really didn't have anything going offensively throughout the game, the first three quarters, he was the guy that was making plays. Different guys, different times, great balance. That's what it's all about, good teamwork. And then it carried over to the defensive side of the floor. Dennis Smith Jr., when the Nets got separation in the fourth quarter, his defense, his toughness, and his ability to steal the ball and then do a 360 dunk that almost gave me a heart attack. Because, you know, it's still a close game right there. But I thought his energy was outstanding also and contagious.
Kevin Ollie, I don't know if it gave him heart palpitations like it did you, but we'll find out. Here's his post-game press conference.
They resilience. We talked about that earlier. Philly came out, and I think they was up by 14 points or something like that, and we just dug in. Stayed together, stayed connected, challenged the guys. In our pregame walkthrough at 5 o'clock that we need to stay together, connectivity, and they did that. Nobody was pouting over there. Nobody was pointing the fingers. And we just hunt better when we're in a pack and not individual. And I'm going to keep saying it like a broken record. We hunt better when we're in a pack, and we stayed in the pack today.
I spoke to Dorian on the walk-off interview, and he said that you challenged them in the halftime. What was just your message at half to this group?
Just doing the small things and our standards. Like we say it, but we got to be about it. So, you know, just saying that we're going to stand on our business and take care of what we need to take care of and control that. And we can control our effort. We can control our attitude and the things we bring on the court. And I just thought they did that. And, you know, Dennis and June and all those guys just got into passing lanes and start picking up. And that's the juice that we need to bring on the defensive end. And the shots will fall after that. And just I thank the guys for Cam Johnson just played 7 minutes. And guys stepped up, and that's what a team is about. And I just loved how they stepped up for each other, played for each other. That was just a great team win. Had to play some mismatch lineups out there just with, you know, 8 players, 9 players that we have, but everybody came in and did a great job. So I thought it was a great team effort.
You touched on Cam, obviously having to leave early. I'm curious, A, do you have any more information on him? Is he...
Yeah, it's just a right ankle sprain, and we're going to evaluate him tomorrow. I imagine they'll evaluate him tonight, but we'll have more information tomorrow.
And, you know, Lonnie gets, you know, I guess a lion's share of those opportunities and some of those looks that Cam might have gotten. Mm-hmm. Can you just touch on the performance that you got from Lonnie and how influential he was in the game?
Yeah, he was great. I had to pull him out early and challenge him on the defensive end, and he just responded the right way. And I always say we got to challenge each other, and, you know, it's nothing personal. Just put your raincoat on and understand that it's a challenge. And I had to challenge him, and he stepped up, and he came in and played better defense, and then he got us going offensively. Also, you know, Dorian Doe was – I mean, we wouldn't win this game without his toughness plays, tip-ins and shooting the three. He was great tonight. It was just a team effort. Didn't have a guy to have this explosive game, but we just shared the cake, we shared the ball, and everybody participated in this team win.
For a team that has had a litany of problems late in games, building leads but then not being able to hold them, for you guys to be down 8 or whatever it was with 8 minutes to go, what does it say about the growth of the team that you guys can go on an 11-0 run and shoot, I think, almost damn near 60% in the fourth quarter? What does that say about the growth?
It's just showing that they're accepting the challenge. They believe in one another. They trust in one another, and that's just great. I see this team coming together, you know, in the locker room. And, you know, before those moments happen, the practice talk takes place then. You know, what we do in shoot around, how we prepare, how do we come in and be on time and have each other accountable for that. So, you know, all the things that happen in the light in front of everybody happens in the darkness when nobody's looking. And we got to continue to focus in on our standards, our principles, and dig in even more for this road trip we got coming up, because we're still chasing. We're chasing Atlanta. We're chasing the people that's in front of us. So we got to have that hunger. We got to, you know, have that tenacity to keep chasing. And that's waking up every morning and doing what you need to do to have us win games and have winning habits. So that's what we're going to continue to try to control each and every day.
Kevin, you mentioned Doe's play, obviously. Just without De'Ron in there, he obviously had to play small ball 5. He's played that role. But just what did he mean tonight, just fitting in that role, not just his shooting, but the rebounds? He had 8 rebounds as well. Yeah. That was important as well, right?
Yeah, it was just important. Like I say, I had some lineups in there. I had to mix and match. And you know, I thank my coaching staff for being right there with me. And Doe just played outstanding. One of my best games I've seen him play, just all around. And just his attitude never changed. It never wavered. We got down by 14, got down by 8. And he was just saying, "Coach, I got you. Coach, come on. We good. And he just never wavered. And that's what we need from our leaders. Never waver. Always have confidence in each other. And I thought they just gave that to each other tonight. And it was beautiful to watch. And it was beautiful to see us come together like this and get a big-time win on a back-to-back.
Last night was a tough one, and you mentioned this coming up stretch is a brutal road stretch coming up. Does a coach need to see a game like this sometimes to know, like, yeah, that we're up for this? You know, the spirits didn't sag. We're in the fight now.
Yeah, no, I'm on always. I don't need to see it. I know it's in them guys, and it's my job to bring that masterpiece out of them each and every day. It's their job to bring that masterpiece out of each other. So I see this. I see them. I believe in them. They're going to continue to do what we need to do and win at all costs and pay for it. And you pay for it by, you know, doubling down on the details, our standards. We have the recipe to win games, no matter who's in the game. But we have to play defense. It starts on the defensive end, and, you know, they came out hot. They was getting to our rim, but we settled in and got the stops when we needed it in the fourth quarter. This is our fourth quarter of our season. So we have to challenge each other. We can't let no game slip, and we got to take care of business.
Kevin, you've talked these last couple of games about how this team responds when the shots aren't falling. What did you make of the Dennis Smith Jr. play where he misses the three and then 10 seconds later gets the stop and has that amazing dunk?
Yeah, I wish he'd just lay it in and not do the 360, but that's his signature. But but I did like the resilience of him because the three looked really good too. And then him coming back and getting on the defensive end, that's what it's going to take. Shots not going in, our motto, shots not going in on our end, they should not be going in on their end. And I just thought he played with tenacity, heart, fight, up in the frame, getting steals, getting deflections, and he's doing all those EGB things we talk about, them energy-generating behaviors, and they showing up in the stat sheet and showing up in his play that we need down the stretch. A game. And I love how him and Dennis played for a majority of that fourth quarter.
The Sixers lineup that gave you a bit of trouble before the fourth quarter was the small ball lineup with Batum and Tobias Harris as the forwards. What did you see in that fourth quarter where you finally kind of figured it out, stopped them, and got buckets on the other end?
Yeah, it was our ball pressure. Our ball pressure picked up, allowing them to start their offense out a little higher. And then Nick was just controlling the paint, kind of playing off Batum a little bit where he can kind of stay in the paint and roam. And he had a couple block shots and then Doe kind of punished him on the offensive rebounds. So that was good because they wasn't blocking him out and he took some opportunities to get to the offensive rebound. Thank you.
That is Nets head coach Kevin Ollie after the Nets win it 112-107. We'll take your comments and questions on Twitter. At BK Nets Radio is the way to reach us. And, yes, just like you, Kevin Ollie preferred that Dennis Smith Jr. lay that in.
Yeah. You're up 10 points or something. You want to get cute. But in a game that – I think it got it to 97-94. It was like it was a three-point game on that dunk. Listen, I know he's a good dunker, but you don't need to go 360. You know? Yes,
better make it.
Just put it in. C.J. Watson for your fans that remember that missed layup out in Chicago in the playoffs. Right? Remember that one?
Well, that was a missed layup.
That was just a miss. But again,
yeah, like he wasn't trying to hot dog it or anything. He just – did he get a – didn't he – it was Nate Robinson was bullying
crazy.
Him that night. Remember he threw him into the scorer's table at one point? There was a big altercation in that game.
Yeah, I remember. Nate Robinson was having a huge series, yep. But.
And then that's about losing that series in seven games right here at Barclays Center. That was the first year in Brooklyn, first year here. Now Reed switched on to Schroeder. Schroeder drives by him left, going all the way to the rim, and lays it in softly off the window with a left hand. For Dennis Schroeder, staring at that left hand after the play. With 23.1 seconds to go, Nets take a 108-103 lead as Nick Nurse wants a timeout. Yeah, Dennis Schroeder with our play of the game. Schroeder ends up with 20 points, 7 of 12 shooting, 8 assists in the game. Nets were down 8 with about 8 minutes and change in this game on an 11-0 run. Took control once they took the lead with 5:44 to go at 94-92. They never lost the lead. Schroeder was terrific down the stretch. Dorian Finney-Smith made some big shots. He ended up with 20. Nick Claxton, another double-double, 17 points, 10 rebounds, 19 for Lonnie Walker with Cam Johnson going down in the first half. Good, solid team victory for the Nets tonight here in Brooklyn.
You know what I liked? I mean, Mikal Bridges is obviously a leader of this team, especially with that lineup out there. But the Nets weren't they were just playing basketball. They were making their own reads. It wasn't going to be, okay, we're just going to go to one guy, and he's going to make it happen. Right now, I think they are just calling sets that were multiple options. Different things could occur. And the ball didn't get just stick with one guy trying to make an isolation play. It was good quality basketball. Schroeder would break down and attack the basket at times. There was a great curl cut by Dorian Finney-Smith where he was hit as he attacked the basket. There was, you know, he got offensive rebounds. Different guys at different times. They were hard to scout. Bridges certainly got an awful lot of attention from the Sixers tonight, but I love the way that other guys stepped up, and nobody seemed that uncomfortable with it. I thought it was a really well-played game, and you're right. They came back in the fourth quarter. They got a lead, and they understood what they had to do to keep that lead.
On Twitter, at BK Nets Radio is the way to reach us. I Bleed Jet Green, our guy Paul, Gutty Grin. Gutty gritty win coming off a bad loss last night, knocking down free throws, big difference. Knicks did not help. Nets lost at home to the Hawks, 10 of the next 11 on the road, won't be easy. Yes, Atlanta beat a shorthanded Knicks team tonight, 116-100 at Madison Square Garden, so the Nets remain 2.5 games behind Atlanta for that 10th spot in the Eastern Conference play-in chase. Christopher James checked in with us. Nets played this game with the same zeal, dominance, and octane as the two previous wins. This really was a must-win game. With the remaining games played like tonight and closing stretch, will be exciting to watch. John Strumpf, glad the Nets didn't ruin my wonderful flourless chocolate cake I had for lunch today. So amazingly good. Yeah, we're all about cake right now. Sharing the cake. Hey, John could send us one of those cakes.
Was it a German vegan cake? That
vegan German chocolate? That was what Kevin Ollie said was his favorite cake.
I know.
But it was mythical. He said someone needs to figure it out.
Oh,
there isn't a vegan German chocolate cake.
Maybe Schroeder's got a guy.
Yes. Gene Moss, the foul on Bridges by Kenyon Martin Jr. turned the game around for Brooklyn. Big corner three by Finney-Smith. Yep. 20 points tonight. Defense made stops when they needed to. Big game from Lonnie Walker. Dennis, Nick got on the boards tonight. Nets made their free throws tonight.
Yep.
Mary Higgins Clark would have been proud the way they rallied back from the free throw line tonight after shooting just over 50% last night.
You got to give that some context right there.
The great author, Mary Higgins Clark, the late, great Mary Higgins Clark, used to come to our post-game shows at the Meadowlands. Yeah. We had live post-game shows with an audience, and people would ask questions, and she would always harp on poor free throw shooting.
Oh, I know,
like
I know.
It really bothered her when teams didn't shoot well from the free throw line. And she loved talking basketball with us.
Yeah, she was great. And you wanted her to do a novel of a guy missing a free throw and then being attacked after the game or something.
So, I don't know. Maybe
something like that. I don't know.
Let's see here. Who haven't we gotten to tonight? Lots of folks checking in. We appreciate everybody checking in on Twitter. Danny, it's Rabbit the Punch. Oh, Rabbit the Punch was a guy who used to come around our post-game show years ago.
Rabbit back. Yeah. Well, it'll come back.
Great win, even though we're not the best team in the NBA. For me personally, this team is more fun to root for than the Stars. Young players just playing hard. I agree with that. I think it was like that for the most part. I think it slipped there in the middle of the season. But this team now is starting to resemble that team we saw in the first, you know, month and a half of the season.
Yeah, it reminds you of that. And yet, you know, they're not perfect either, right? But we've seen glimpses three out of the four. But we didn't say that 24 hours ago. You know what I mean? So you got
no.
Here's
you're
the
more
thing:
along, yeah.
Are you capable? You're capable, but are you consistent? And this is what this Net team has to become right now: consistent with their effort and focus and intensity, because that's what makes them good, along with versatility. They have a lot of those kind of mix and match parts, and that's when they're good. And I think the addition of Schroeder is really, really helpful to this group. I mean, he quarterbacks it. He makes timely plays. He's got speed at that point guard position and keeps the defense honest.
It's kind of like when I'm driving over the Verrazano Bridge today and I'm thinking to myself, I can't see a thing. Like, it was just fog and cloud cover, right, everywhere. And I'm thinking to myself, on a really clear day, how dramatic that is. You know you have New York skyline to your left, Statue of Liberty you see in the bay. Out to the right, you can see Coney Island, the parachute jump. But when you're in the fog there, like, you go, you know all that stuff is there, but you can't believe it because you can't see anything. And that's, like, last night, like, that was the fog. You know those great performances are out there. You saw it against Atlanta, but you go into that game last night, man, you can't see a thing. You can't believe it's out there. And then, you know, you come in here tonight, and I'm not going to say the fog completely lifted, but I could see a little bit more of where this team is all about.
Exactly. How was that toll going over the Verrazano in that story right there, by the way?
You don't even notice it now. They could charge you $100.
You don't even know, right?
Yeah, you just get the thing, takes your picture as you go through.
Yeah, but I mean,
they could be charging you $3,000.
That's a mortgage. That's a mortgage right there. Before we move on, let's not forget our favorite tweet guy of all time tonight.
Well, Spencer, yeah, and he was listening tonight, so he heard our 5150 reference.
Oh, he did?
And
he
his wife checked in with us. But, yeah, I forgot to say, the Spencer.
We should name the Spencer Schwartz Twitter
check-in with us. We'll finish up with Todd Barilla because
he does a good job.
He jumped on exactly what we're talking about. Very nice character win tonight. Finney Smith outstanding. This Jekyll and Hyde season continues. My prediction for Thursday against the Pistons, we'll win by 35 or we'll lose by 20.
Thanks, Todd.
Yes. Will there be fog or will it be clear skies?
Oh, that is beautiful.
It's like we don't even have a weatherman right now.
I can't tell you how many times I went over the Verrazano Bridge, and I had both those visions.
Yeah, exactly. Nets remain 2.5 games out of that 10th spot in the Eastern Conference play-in chase because the Atlanta Hawks go into the Garden, beat the Knicks tonight, 116-110.
They finally get out of New York City?
Well, a nice week-long vacation for them. They actually salvaged the trip with a win at the Garden. Knicks are without Jalen Brunson, still without Julius Randle and OG Anunoby. 26 for Jalen Johnson led the way. 22 for DeAndre Hunter in that game. 21 for DeJounte Murray. Nets will be in action again on Thursday night. The Heat beat Detroit 118-110. Nets will see the Pistons on Thursday night. Miami picks up a game on the Philadelphia 76ers. Remember, the Sixers were coming into this one in that tight race in the Eastern Conference. Miami, with the win, moves into a tie now with Philadelphia. The Knicks remain a half game in fourth, and the Heat jump into fifth, tied with them. Orlando winning in Charlotte 101-89. So actually, Orlando leapfrogs the Sixers. No, Orlando is in fifth.
Wow.
And then Philadelphia and Miami are tied for sixth, right behind Orlando. So that is going to change nightly.
Absolutely.
Right there.
It is jumbled up.
And he'll talk about the whole league right now. Boston gets healthy tonight. Jaylen Brown, Porzingis in the lineup. They lose in Cleveland, who played without Donovan Mitchell. Cleveland wins it 105-104. Donovan Mitchell got one of those PRP injections in his shoulder. He's going to be out for a little bit. I don't think he's going to play against the Nets on Sunday in Cleveland. Elsewhere, we see the Pelicans blow out the Raptors, 139-98. Nets have to look at what the Raptors do because the Raptors right behind them in the standings right now. So the Nets gain a little game separation there on Toronto. Houston beat San Antonio tonight, 114-101. They are in the fourth quarter. Indiana with a 121-101 lead on Dallas. Mavericks in danger of losing a couple of games in a row. And Denver, 32-30 lead early in the second quarter. Back to that Boston game. I believe that Boston that snapped their
11
game winning streak.
11 game. They're finally, they were due, but man, they've got a nice team. But Cleveland has really, I think they're interesting because when Mobley and Darius Garland went out, they discovered a little different version of themselves. Now, Garland plays a lot right now back. Mobley, they spot it in and out differently right now, and it's interesting to watch. Two old Nets playing really well, though. I mean, Jared Allen has established himself as an outstanding big man in this league. And Caris LeVert off the bench is what, you know, he might get some Sixth Man of the Year award votes.
Well, especially with Donovan Mitchell out.
Yeah, he'll be playing a lot more,
Dean Wade at 23 to lead Cleveland. That's a guy you don't even think of either. But that's a guy who at times has been in the starting lineup for them.
Yeah, again, he's an interesting guy. He's got good size and can defend, and he stretches the defense. They stretched out their offense, you know, even when Mitchell was there. And and Sam Merrill plays a lot right now. We got a good taste of that, certainly watching the Nets play him in the Paris game. You got to see it in full force.
You know what? They went 20 of 42 from behind the arc. 6 threes for Wade, 21-12 for Jared Allen, 16 points, 11 assists for Darius Garland. Our player of the game brought to you by Maxip Telecom, proud partner of the Brooklyn Nets. Player of the game for the Brooklyn Nets tonight. Capper, what are you going to give it to?
Dorian Finney-Smith, yeah. All around. Yeah, but, I mean, I thought a little Lonnie Walker. I can't lie to you. I mean, he was plus 29 on the game.
Wow.
It wasn't as
– That jumped out at me.
Yeah, his 29 was pretty impressive.
Plus 29.
But I guess the timeliness of the plays by Dorian Finney-Smith, we'll lean that. He's got – a little seniority on Lonnie. Lonnie's got to earn it with us, night in and night out. You don't just get this award.
No. You get our admiration, which is worth quite a bit. Finney-Smith's 20 points, the second 20-point game of the year for him, had one against Chicago back in early November. All right, take a look at our upcoming schedule brought to you by Ticketmaster. Make more memories live with Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Brooklyn Nets and the NBA. The Nets starting out 6 games on the road. Not going to call it a 6-game road trip because they are going to play 3 games, then come home, and then go on the road for another 3 games. It'll begin on Thursday night in Detroit, and then Saturday in Charlotte, Sunday in Cleveland. Then they'll come home, and then on Tuesday, they'll head back out to Orlando for a game on Wednesday, and then 2 days off after that, before they play back-to-back on Saturday and Sunday in Indiana and in Austin, Texas, against the San Antonio Spurs. So that's the next 6 games coming up before the Nets will return home on March 19th to take on Zion Williamson and the New Orleans Pelicans. We will be on the air Thursday night as the Nets are in Detroit. Let's see here. That is a Thursday night against the Detroit Pistons, who they beat twice earlier back in December, and that will be a 7 o'clock game, so we'll get on the air at 6:50 with the pregame show.